Dude, this is hard. 3, 2, 1. Let's jam. Yo, 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 what is up? Welcome to the Nerd AF Show. Tyler Scott, Hugh Johnson, Richard Williams
hello,
on the
hello.
Mic. Yeah, I
do we not get to do
order.
Our intros anymore?
Well, because I did it out of order. So.
What is this?
Sorry, let me try that again.
I prepped so hard for this,
to
Hugh.
Just do A? Okay. Three, two, one. Yo, 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 what is up? Welcome to the Nerd AF Show. It's Hugh Johnson with Tyler Scott.
Does whatever a Tyler Scott does.
And Richard Williams.
Hey!
Richard always gets the short end of the stick because you always do something weird.
And hey!
I say Richard Williams really weird after that.
Richard has plenty of opportunity to do something weird. Or you can always go with me second. Like, you don't
have
to.
That's true. I could just switch it up.
Hey, everybody.
Next
it's
episode,
Williams.
Richard, I will pass
coming
it to you
live
first.
At 5.
Hey, all right. So we're going to talk a lot of things today. We're going to talk Spider-Man Far From Home, of course. RIP Microsoft eBooks, the scandal going on there. If that's what you're into, our new segment where we're going to talk about what we've been watching or doing as of late. And we're bringing back our lightning round because it's super fun. It's going to be all Disney themed here, all right?
Yeah.
All right, let's get this show on the road, fellas. Remember, you can find us online, social media, at Nerd AF Show. That's Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram and Stitcher. All right, guys. So Marvel Studios, the folks there are pretty much geniuses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and not just because they make good superhero movies. Okay. I'm talking about this most recent feat where, you know, in the past month, they've had two events where they've tried to get their audience to fork over more cash to watch the same movie, right? First, of course, Avengers Endgame re-release, which, you know, you got a whole new scene with Hulk answering the phone and it wasn't even rendered. Isn't that cool?
It worked. Mm-hmm.
I didn't see it. No, I just read all the stuff online and
it totally worked within the storyline though.
Okay. I was just hating to hate. But I am about to hate on Spider-Man Far From Home,
oh,
which
shit.
Was far from
that?
Different.
Oh yeah, I've seen
okay.
it.
Far from different from Homecoming.
Here
did you guys
we go.
You guys like that? How I did that?
Hey,
spoiler warning right now if you have not seen Far From Home.
Yeah, lots of spoilers, people.
Dude,
turn it off now if you don't want them.
Don't turn us off, just mute us. Let the episode play. Let us get the view.
Skip
like,
ahead.
Come on.
My bad.
But for real, like, deja vu, did I see this movie before?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I did. Hold on. Is Peter Parker worthy of being Avenger? That's kind of the theme of the first one. Can we just change that? Is Peter Parker worthy of being the successor to Tony Stark? Okay. Uh-oh. That seems like that's the big theme of this one. Uh-oh. Also, Peter Parker has to balance life being a superhero and being a high school student, especially chasing after this girl he likes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was present in the first one. It's present in the second one.
Oh,
man.
It's present throughout the whole comic book. That's all he did is chase after Mary Jane.
Sure,
and
man,
Stacy.
But I mean, it doesn't make. Like, I mean,
does
you got to
justify
make the,
two movies.
Yeah, it's a movie. It's a different audience.
Yes, because they weren't together in the first one.
Okay. Well, it's a different girl this time. I guess. Peter Parker has the transformative moment. Moments after he gets wrecked, after Vulture drops a building on his ass, in the first one, this one he gets hit by a train. Okay, there's that transformative moment. And even the motivation for the villain, man, Vulture, turns to a life of crime after he loses his business,
mm-hmm.
gets screwed by Tony Stark.
Mm-hmm.
Mysterio turns to a life of crime after checks notes, got screwed by Tony Stark. Man,
Ew.
This is like...
Oh, no, you didn't just tread there, did you? Really?
I like this.
That's the best part about Spider-Man.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
The dude,
freaking amazing.
Hold on. Yeah, first and foremost, Jake Gyllenhaal.
He did do a great job. I'm
amazing
not
job
that.
As a villain.
But I've seen this movie before, guys.
But that's
I
the
swear.
Thing. Spider-Man is so popular because he is so relatable.
Yes.
Like, that is what has made him a Marvel mainstay for so long. It's
uh-huh.
like, everyone can identify with being the nerdy, dorky kid
right.
in high school who messes up and who's trying to chase after people
right,
and
right,
get
right.
attention and stuff like that.
Right.
And the villains are the same way. like Vulture was a regular dude who got screwed.
Right.
Mysterio, same style of
villain. Yeah, but super close to like, they both got screwed by Tony Stark? Like, it's, come on.
But no, that's the best part, is that they are showing how the universe is being affected by other people's actions way better.
It was cool the first time around. It's just more the same the second time around. That's the entire point I'm making. It's still good.
The first time was also not being screwed over because of Tony Stark. Okay. They got screwed over because of the government themselves just saying, you can't do this anymore.
Right, exactly. And he kind of takes it out on Tony, fair point.
Besides, the biggest question through the entire movie is, who is going to take over for Tony Stark?
Right.
And he is being like almost deified at this point.
Yeah, so many pictures all over the place.
Exactly. Like, he's gone full goat status in this murder.
He is the goat.
Exactly.
People are just mourning. And, you know, when a star dies, they're going to, oh my God, I loved him every song.
Exactly.
You know, I'm like.
But it feels very similar to Peter's chase to I Want to Be an Avenger. Like, it just all came back to me as a very familiar feeling. And for the hype this movie's getting, I wanted to see a little bit more. I wanted it to be a little bit more different.
No, I was happy with what I saw. He got slapped down so many times. I was so happy to see Peter get smacked down. He goes, you're an Avenger. I'm like, bitch, you don't have no right to call anyone an Avenger. You just became one when he did that to Mysterio.
True.
And then what happened after he did it? He got slapped down. He's like, no, I'll take the glasses. I'm like, don't give him the glasses.
First and foremost, we have to put out the quick notice that we called this. Like, two episodes ago when we were talking about what we thought Mysterio was going to go bad. And that's...
Of course, because Mysterio is a bad guy.
A bad guy.
And that's the thing.
Lord of Illusions.
Yeah.
And this is
where... That was cool.
This is
the illusion part was really cool.
This is where I come in on Hugh's side, though. Because I think that the main story was super predictable. Like, there was nothing interesting or new about the way that they approached it. It was total tropey. But it was all a great backdrop for the two reveals at the very end.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's the thing, is like the entire movie is kind of like meh until you get the last two scenes.
Mm.
The one where that's my point of view, when it gets revealed to the entire world who Spider-Man is. Which, side note, J.K. Simmons coming back as J. Jonah Jameson makes me so happy.
From the Raimi.
Makes me so happy. He's the perfect
happy.
One.
Hey, I was so happy.
Exactly. So we got consensus on that at least.
Yes.
Second is when you see that it's actually the Skrull who have been playing as...
I loved it.
For how long?
Right? Well, that's
that
all
long.
These questions, but them being long. There as Nick Fury and as Maria Hill was just like, whoa. Yeah.
We're about to go to space.
Right?
Going back to space. Right. We've already been to space. Bitch, please, we've been to space.
Bitch, you've been to space.
I don't know that, because now it makes it even more funny to me, because it's like this. That wasn't Nick Fury saying it. That was that Skrull.
Right?
You know, he was funny in Captain Marvel. I don't know if you liked him.
I liked him in Captain Marvel.
I really liked him.
Yeah, I absolutely loved him in it. And it was just great to see Nick Fury. He ain't got no shoes on. He's in this like digital beach like scene thing. Totally cracked me up, man. But you know what that's leading into, right?
No, I was hoping you'd have something to like
sword.
Share on
it's going in the sword, which is the space version of S.H.I.E.L.D. They stop people from coming invading the Earth.
Ooh.
That's what it's, I feel it's going to end up being.
See, I wasn't sure if they were going that direction or maybe going Secret Invasion style.
No, I don't think just yet. I think they're doing S.W.O.R.D. first because they work with aliens. It's humans and aliens who all have some kind of, what do you call it, common thing with the Earth. Either their families have been...
Common cause?
Yeah, like they want to protect the Earth for some reason. Either their families are there or whatever. The aliens
we're awesome.
Have, or just we're awesome.
Cha.
Cha.
So I'm just saying, also, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is kicking into that too.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is still going?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's good.
There's a lot of...
It's good. It is.
Okay.
It's really good.
I'll put that on the list of things to
watch
now.
Right. Now, I'm thoroughly
happy.
The list
continues to grow.
Right.
But, Richard, your take on Far From Home.
Far From Home, I really did like it. I thought it was a fun movie. It was fun. I went up in there just to have fun.
Right.
It was light. It's what I needed kind of after Infinity War and Endgame. I just need something kind of light. it did, like, when, I don't know what it is with this damn boy. Every time he starts tearing up, I start to tear up. Like, when he looks like he's about
like
to cry.
He's like a kitten. Like, yeah. When he starts to tear up, he gets the big googly eyes. No, and he's like,
it's like, damn, it's okay, come buddy, here. Come here.
You wanna hug, I can monkey? Hug you.
Right. It's like, come here, monkey.
What do you need? Yeah. Oh, that's right. Night monkey.
Night monkey.
I could not quit laughing every time he goes like this. Right. No, that wasn't Spider-Man. That was Night Monkey.
Thank God for the comic relief in this movie, because I would have been bored to death otherwise. But.
Oh, come on. At least, okay.
Apart from the Mysterio part where he wrecks Spider-Man.
That's come on, we got to give it up for Mysterio for,
he
being,
was cool.
For being funny in the bar. Like when Peter walked out, he's like, all right! Like,
and that's the thing.
I was like, that, oh my God.
That is what something I also feel sets this movie apart, is this was finally a good villain again.
Yeah.
Like, when was the last time we had a really good villain in a Marvel, besides Thanos? Thanos, man.
Wait,
like,
we just had one.
Not the super big guy.
Killmonger, like, okay.
Killmonger, maybe. Maybe Killmonger. I'm saying maybe. Vulture was pretty good.
Vulture was incredible.
But you look back at the earlier movies, and it's like, you had Loki. And that was about it for a long period of time.
Hey, don't you diss my Obadiah Stane.
Really? Really?
Don't you diss my Iron Giant.
I'm
going
Obadiah.
To diss.
I like, yeah,
I'm going.
The cool thing about that was Iron Man.
So did you get that? It's like the guy he was screaming at?
Oh, yeah. There are some good callbacks. But, I'm not saying the story was bad. I'm saying I did this before.
But you know who that guy was, right? You've seen the Christmas story. He was the kid with the glasses.
What?
The
he was Ralphie?
Story. He was Ralphie. No. You didn't know that? Like, he's like good friends with all those people. And it's like, just come on.
What?
And he was in the first Iron Man, and they brought him back in this
That
movie.
Was cool. That was a cool callback.
That I did was like Ralphie, man.
The callback to Civil War for Beck, and the callback to the original Iron Man.
I'm sad he didn't shoot his eye out then. He was playing with all them drones. He couldn't even handle a BB gun for crying out loud. But they let him fly the drones just fine.
I think that was kind of funny. And the woman who's like this, I'm doing the cape.
Yeah, right. Do we need to get the wrinkles out? Yes, Barbara, we have to get the wrinkles out.
The comedic relief was on point. The acting was on point. But seriously, though, like, I guess, how does this change the dynamic for Spider-Man now that this truly puts him on the Iron Man path, that he has been outed publicly as this superhero, and like his identity is known, kind of like Iron Man was.
We don't even know if there's going to be an Avengers. Like, he may be the next Tony Stark. Right. That doesn't mean that we have another Avengers team up coming.
True. I don't think he's going to be the next Tony Stark.
I don't think Shuri. So. I think he's the next Tony Stark. Like, I think he's pretty.
He's got Edith.
He's got Edith. He's got Happy on his side. Like, he's got all the makings. All he needs is a cheeseburger and a better set of clothes, and he is totally Tony Stark.
I don't know.
A kick-ass goatee. I think that makes the man right there.
Yes. A goatee.
Yeah, that's okay. That's all that's where Iron Man power come from. Okay? It's all the goatee.
Facial
Did
hair
you
part.
Notice I'm when sure you
facial hair
all it is like it's just microbes. It's just freaking microbots that are just like, this is where my suit is stored.
Stop it.
That's where Hughes is too. That's where Hughes is.
Did you notice the scene where he shoots the drone and he jumps out of the bus when he lands due to like just the wind and everything? His hair is all poofed up, kind of like reminiscent of Tony Stark. I thought that was pretty cool.
And they were like, I know you think nobody has noticed, but we like your new look. He does look a lot like Tony Stark in that moment, particularly with the glasses.
That was really funny.
And when he punched Flash. Like, that's just been that was a gratifying moment for all 2 seconds of it.
That was awesome. Anyway, when he almost killed Brad. I don't like Brad.
Brad's a dickwad.
No, that was really funny. I have to say, they did really well on the snap. Or the blip.
Right.
And explaining it. Because you saw this picture of Brad when he was like, it's like, oh my God, that little guy with nosebleeds? You know, and then you see him as this like hot hunk of a guy, you know, who's like, I'm going to show Mary Jane everything. Like when he's like trying to change into the new spider suit, his like pants are down and that hot woman was there.
So
he goes,
true.
No, I'm going to tell her.
And then Mary Jane's like, why you take pictures of people in the bathroom, dude?
That was
turned that around.
That was
my
so
God. I love Zendaya as Mary Jane.
Can we just say, like, Zendaya as Mary Jane, best Mary Jane in a long time on this
sorry,
one.
Sorry, Kirsten Dunst. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry, Kirsten Dunst. But womp womp. Oh, no. Shade.
I liked her.
The shade of
the
it all.
First and second movie.
Nobody likes the third one.
I forgot to mention at the top of the show, we are very proud of our co-host, Richard Williams, and our producer emeritus, Vincent Chandler. He helped found the show with us. They wrote an op-ed in the Denver-based Colorado Sun. Richard, why don't you tell us what that was about and your experience?
Well, first of all, I want to say I was very honored for Vince bringing me into it and letting me talk about it. Basically, at Mile High Comic Books, they have all ages drag show that Chuck throws. He wants that comic book store not just to be a place for people to go read comic books, and people were hating on that because they didn't agree with it. They don't understand it, and they're protesting in front of this comic book store with kids who want to dress and do dramatic play as they see fit, you know, and just be who they think they are, right, or who they could be. Basically, Vince and I rewrote this piece in response to the hatred and the nastiness that's coming up against Mile High Comic Books and just in this country in general, showing that this crap is out there and that we can resist it and that we have the power. Don't let other people have that kind of power in our lives and go out there and spread that kind of hatred and feed off of it, because we can do the opposite. Where there's hatred, what's the opposite of that? Love. Put that out there. Resist. You can share your voice. You don't have to be hateful. Anyway, that's what this article was about. Basically about my experience on how being gay and being a person of color, how it relates to different comic book kind of characters and groups and what have you, like the X-Men.
Right.
How Professor X is a lot like Martin Luther King and how Magneto is a lot like Malcolm X. They both wanted the same thing. And also a lot of the things that are going on, like the X-Men, you can kind of construe it as being a person of color, or you can be, you know, a gay person. Right. It's like this, we are odd, and you know, we felt like the world was against us, especially when we were growing up, and it was a way of escaping. I mean, not a lot of people know I was taken away from my parents and put in the foster care system at 9. And this is a way for me to escape, to jump into X-Men, to jump into all of these different comic books, Black Panther, what have you. It's like this, let them be who they want to be. Let's not stifle them. I grew up stifled. We're past that shit. Kids are going to be who they are. Let's not stifle them. And let's just go into how so many gay kids, they kill themselves because they don't know how to deal with this shit. Anyway, it was an honor to be able to speak, you know, my truth. That's what this article is about.
One of the things I really enjoyed about the piece was just the active stance that both you and Vince took in terms of just finding a way to not combat from a physical standpoint, but from an ideological standpoint, some of the hate that's out there. And coming to the realization is that this is like, things don't get better unless it's called out in specific.
I agree.
Things don't get better unless you stand and fight for it. Be you a member of the oppressed community or an ally of said oppressed community.
Absolutely.
And so we all need to be out there. And I am happy that you guys wrote this piece. I'm happy that Mile High Comics are our friends and partners, and we've done a couple live shows with them.
Absolutely.
Are also a haven for people as well. I think it's great. I'll say this. I was going to plug this, but I might as well just bring it up now.
Okay.
I'm happy for people like Megan Rapinoe. It's not really a nerdy thing, but women's soccer player on the U.S. Women's national team that just won World Cup, who is out and proud of who she is and kicked ass at the World Cup.
Right. Embraces who she is. I love it.
I love it. I love the idea of just being out there and being seen and heard and taking a stance for what you believe in. It's awesome. It's righteous. I enjoy it a lot. So that's what I thought of the piece.
Right.
Tyler, you got any
thoughts? Just making sure, man.
Like, well, like Tyler.
My bad. Okay. I have opinions. I swear I do. First off, super proud of Richard and super proud of Vince for putting together this piece. And I love the point that you make about how comic books are kind of have always been this gateway. Well, not always. I shouldn't say that, because there are plenty of examples where comic books have been stupid. But I think people underestimate how much comics can make an effect when it comes to pop culture. And how much they can lead the way, and how much nerd culture just in general can lead the way on a lot of these topics. Mm-hmm. And just as you said, you know what, like with X-Men, with Black Panther, it opens up such great dialogue, and it shows and gives people examples of like, hey, yes, it's a fake universe, right. But it gives you something to bond over. Exactly. It gives you something to find common ground on, and it gives you kind of like... like myth used to do back in like the ancient times. It gave people a way to say, okay, this is what we're shooting for. Right. And that's what comic books do today. It's our modern mythology to be able to look at and say, you know what? We can be better. Yeah, it may be fake, but we can be better. Because right. That's what because it embodies all the ideals we're trying to go for. So super proud of you guys, man.
Thank you. I just want to like piggyback on what you said. Some of the first, before I even kind of like start reading comic books hardcore, the first things I would geek out on, I would go to the library just to get the hell out of, you know, the Foster Christmas woman, whatever, just to stay at the library all day, is Greek, like, tales, and then, of course, the Roman tales, and then Egyptian gods, and all of these tales, they are, I mean, let's look at it, they are ancient comic books, you know, and then I started getting into comic books, I'm like, oh no, Thor is in the Avengers, what the hell, you know, and Hercules is on the Avengers too, so anyway, yes, everything you said, so I'm done.
Yeah, as a as a fellow mythology nerd, 100%, I get where you're coming from.
I love it, I love history.
They're also both in God of War, spoiled again.
Damn you, Hugh. Oh, man. Mother God!
Got him! Got him!
I'm going to find some way to mess up your wedding. Oh, all right. God. That's what come on, man.
Just you wait. That's not nearly as fun. That's not nearly as fun.
I'm going to show up in a Thor t-shirt. All right? I'm going to show up in a Thor t-shirt and just stand there. And you're like, I, God of Thunder, hereby christen this marriage.
Man, I would laugh if you had the hammer and the helmet.
You act like I don't.
Oh, shit. Now I'm going to leave that alone.
And even if I don't, I got Amazon. My superpower is Amazon two-day delivery.
Well, Tyler, I'm going to need you to talk a little bit more, buddy, because... talk to me about this. What's going on with Microsoft and the ebooks? What's the fallout there?
Man, okay, this just hurts my heart because as a book nerd as well, like that's where I started being a major nerd. Microsoft is closing down their ebook section, and in a very nice way, at least. Like Microsoft is actually saying, okay, we're closing down our ebook store and we're deleting everybody's libraries.
Yikes!
Yeah. So Microsoft is apparently not making enough money off of it. Shocker. Who buys off of Microsoft anyway? But they're shutting down their service. They're shutting down their servers, and people are going to lose their entire libraries off of this. And Microsoft is being nice, and at least they're issuing refunds for what's been bought. But it brings up a very big problem when it comes to digital media and the idea of, do you actually own the digital version that you paid for?
Yeah. And that's akin to coming into someone's house and burning their book collection.
Yes. Right? I mean, it's like Barnes & Noble coming back and being like, nah, man, sorry. Merry Christmas. But they don't have... But that's the thing, is that they didn't have to pay.
Right.
Like, any other digital service could shut down any day and just be like, we don't owe you guys anything because you don't technically own the digital rights to this. Now, there's different cases, and so, of course, this is...
I mean, it would have been a PR nightmare for them had they not, I think.
Exactly. But it makes you think. Because you think about how much of our libraries are stored on digital. Like, what if Comixology shut down? I would lose so many comic books off of that. What if Voodoo shut down? Richard would go into full revolt at that point, first and foremost. And I'm sure the army of, people who have access to your account would be like, no, we're going after it, including producer Andy. Producer Andy is on the team.
Right. Fire and pitchfork. Right.
That's right.
Could they shut down the games?
They could shut down the games.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, think about that. Think about what if PlayStation shut down their servers, which, as you start looking at how Google's coming out with Stadia, all these other companies are starting to consolidate. There might be a time sooner than we think where this stuff starts to shut down. Because it just moves. And I know I sound a little doomsday preppery about this, and that's fine. But you have to remember that someday... every server is going to shut down. Like, every business will go out of business and be replaced by something else. And you got to ask yourself, where's your digital content going at that point? Like, we didn't think Walmart would be in trouble until Amazon came along. Yeah. So what's going to be the next thing that comes along and we start thinking, oh, we never thought Amazon was going to be in trouble.
That's why I got all these hard copies.
Exactly.
And Vudu has like a great thing where it's like this, oh, do you want to buy the digital? You could do that and we'll give you a discount on the physical copy. So that's what I've been doing. I've been doing it through Vudu. I order it like so I can see it on digital and then have the hard copy and put it in my collection.
But in some cases, you still don't even own that digital version. Like iTunes fought for a long time to say people didn't own their music libraries that they bought through iTunes. Yeah. That was a big case. Crap, I don't even remember when it was.
Was that with Napster and all that?
It wasn't Napster. It was more recent than that. But it was at a point where somebody died and willed their music collection onto somebody else. And iTunes said, no, you can't do that. It's not yours to give away. Which ownership would say you can totally do that.
They spent the money.
Exactly. But iTunes said no.
But Apple owns the platform, right?
Exactly. And so you start to wonder a little bit, and this puts all of our stuff at risk to say, well, if these digital services shut down, what do you go from there?
My hard copies.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you got to go hard copies. So I just
build your library somewhere else if you even can.
You know? Yeah. You either have to go rebuild your library that's another thing to consider is when you're talking about these online platforms, they curate the content. So you don't get access to everything that you could. You are kind of at the whim of whatever iTunes says that they want to have on there.
Right.
And so just, again, I know I sound a little doomsday preppery, but something to consider is just as you're thinking about your digital libraries and things like that, back them up. Figure out how to get them off of these platforms and get them somewhere where you can keep them safe so that when the lights go, you know, turn out, you're not losing everything with it.
Right.
So I think that affects everybody when it comes to the nerddom particularly.
I got my big bookshelf in there.
Right? Yeah, Richard has a massive bookshelf. And it's all physical copy DVD or Blu-rays. Like, that's going to be...
Man, Xbox isn't handing out discounts on the physical copy of games, so I can't really back it up.
I still want a physical copy of the game. Like, a lot of people are like, just do it on digital. I'm like, no. No, I don't want to.
Now I might start, though.
Yeah. It definitely speaks more to, like, why don't you just buy a physical copy?
Right.
Like, buy the book. Buy the game.
Yeah.
You know, it's... Maybe it's a couple bucks more expensive, but it also means that you truly have ownership of that going forward.
Exactly.
There's a ton of caveats to this kind of question of, like, where do we go as a digital age? And there's a huge conversation that we could have around the idea that is our economy moving towards being just an experience-based economy, or are we actually going to continue to own stuff going forward? But that's a really deep conversation for another time.
Right.
I just, particularly in this topic, as a book lover, I would be devastated if I lost a part of my library because I love my library.
Yeah.
And so for Microsoft to just all of a sudden be pulling the plug makes me really start to rethink, okay, how are we doing this? And is there a better way that we can be keeping our books, keeping our libraries intact for the day when the servers do shut down? I agree. That's all I got.
Man, that was just heavy. I feel like we need to take a break.
True, though.
Friggin' doomsday, man.
The end is nigh. Back up your shit. Back up your shit.
For real. We're going to move on to our next segment, an old new segment. I don't know. We used to call it Week in Geek. We're going to switch it over to If That's What You're Into. We like that title a little bit better. Let's just go around
the Concords for whoever, you know, maybe remembering that.
Yeah, we're just going to go around the table, talk about what we've been kind of watching, playing, reading, whatever, bringing that segment back, bringing you a little bit into our own nerddoms each week. And so, let's start with Richard.
I was too heavy, man. You got to go back to Richard on this one.
Yeah, he was heavy.
One of the things I'm watching is, I believe it's every Wednesday on DC Universe.
Yes, sir.
Three episodes of Young Justice has been coming out. I saw the first three. They're 30 minutes apiece, and it's so good. It has been really, really good. Well, the first three, you know, of the second half of the third season just came out, and I really enjoyed it. Just started watching, what is it? I almost said Needful Things, but...
Doom Patrol?
No.
Swamp Thing?
No, on...
Doom Patrol.
Netflix.
Stranger Things.
Stranger Things.
Season 3. Sorry about that, folks. The record skipped in my head.
But was it Doom Patrol?
Hey, Doom Patrol, I love me some Doom Patrol. Okay, all right. But no, last thing is I went back to, because I found out about this, Marvel Spider-Man. You get two of the suits from the movie.
Free!
Yes, for free, which I love them for. And I'm loving that red and black suit with the wings.
That squirrel suit is sexy. Yeah.
So the ending one, the one that he actually constructs?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm loving that. And, when you can kind of see the webs underneath the armpits and stuff. Oh,
cool. It's a squirrel suit, though, right? Like, it's a spider squirrel suit.
It's night monkey.
Maybe he's a spider monkey.
It's a spider
nightmare. I love Led Zeppelin.
Oh, that was painful, okay? That was painful to me.
All right, Tyler Scott, go ahead.
Let's see if that's what you're into. So I've been geeking out about Neil Gaiman. Neil Gaiman is a major writer. He incorporates a lot of mythology into his writing, and he recently put out the show Good Omens on Amazon. It's a great story, honestly, and great acting, too. I love David Tennant. He is by far my favorite Doctor Who. And he's just a great actor on top of it. And so he does a great job. Michael Sheen does a great job. You've got little bits and pieces for other actors who just make these little cameo appearances. But it's just good, interesting stories.
I agree.
And it incorporates a lot of different elements and I haven't finished it, unfortunately, so I can't speak to the ending. But so far, very strong. Mm-hmm. But on top of that, Neil Gaiman also has multiple books out that I've been reading, like his Norse mythology book that actually turns Norse mythology into more of a story as opposed to like just kind of these fragmented sentences that you have to make something out of, which awesome. Makes it really cool to listen to. And by the way, Norse mythology kicks ass. Like anything that the Vikings come up with, you know it's going to be pretty sweet. There's talk that Neil Gaiman's series Sandman is going to come out. That's going to come out on as a miniseries as well. It's dark. It's definitely mature. But if you're looking for a really thoughtful comic book series to go read the Sandman series.
I heard that. I'm so excited. I can't wait.
Go read some of those books. Go check out Good Omens on Amazon and be on the lookout for Sandman or go start reading it on Amazon whenever you get a chance.
To address the awkward moment we shared at the top of your...
about making George R.R. Martin his bitch?
Okay. Neil Gaiman has his journal, right? And people write into Neil Gaiman. Happened about 2009, I think, is the date on this. Gareth wrote to Neil Gaiman, when writing a series of books like Martin is with A Song of Ice and Fire, what responsibility does he have to finish his story? Is it unrealistic to think that by not writing the next chapter, Martin is letting me down, even though if and when the book ever gets written is completely up to him? Would be very interested in your insight. Gaiman responds, my opinion, one, yes, it's unrealistic of you to think George is letting you down. Look, this may not be palatable, Gareth, and I keep trying to come up with a better way to put it, but the simplicity of things, at least from my perspective, is this. George R. R. Martin is not your bitch. So, that is what that's from. Go look it up, people. That's a little...
Go Neil.
Yeah. He said that. And I'm like, I know I didn't just make that up.
Okay.
That is something you said.
No, you're correct. Okay. Hugh totally gets that one.
It took one awkward moment to undo another, so to speak.
So, Neil Gaiman... So I'm gonna go real Martin on top of his other list of accomplishments.
Exactly. So I'm gonna go real quick here into Jessica Jones season 3. It's a show we've covered on this show quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Really enjoyed it. We talked about when we were talking about Game of Thrones, how rushed the Dany's whole crazy turn kind of felt. This one has another sort of heelish, might I say, hellish turn for one of the characters. And they do it perfectly. It's really a really great story, really solid story. A little bit slow, like the second season was, to just kind of get into it all.
Right.
But truly enjoyed it. Tried not to spoil too much, but I definitely just dropped into the major spoiler, Richard. Right. For those of you who haven't seen it,
I already kind of know. When kinda spoiled it for me, so that's why I'm like, say it.
Okay.
I already know what's going to happen.
Yeah, now. But it's a real cool one. But let's I'm just going to end it there. We're running out of time. Let's do our lightning round here real quick. It's all things Disney. So we've got Mulan, Maleficent, and the Mermaid. I think Little Mermaid is the deal.
Mermaid. I'm like, I'll watch it.
Oh, my gosh. They're all M's.
I would watch
like,
Merman and Bonkable.
Right. It's like,
I'll watch it. Ain't Disney, but I'd watch it.
Arius Elba.
Okay. We all thought the Little Mermaid was going to be played by Halle Berry. It turns out it's another girl, by the name of Halle Bailey.
So don't make our mistake, kids.
No. So we made our mistake.
All right, what's your question?
But people are not happy about. Some people are not happy about the fact that Ariel is being portrayed by a black woman. Your thoughts on that? Your thoughts on their decision to change Ariel's race, Tyler? Oh. Go.
Who cares? Like, who is so invested in the Little Mermaid of all things that it's like, no, she's got to be white. Like, it's a mermaid for crying out loud. It can be anything. Right. Like, have you seen the mermaids in Harry Potter? They're freaky fish demon-y things. I didn't hear anyone come out being like, no, no, no. They have to be like Ariel from the Little Mermaid because otherwise it's not canon to my mind. It's like, nobody came up about that. Right. Why is this what we're coming up about? Besides, this opens up the door for Terry Crews to be King Triton, okay? And Terry Crews needs to be King Triton.
I love that idea.
I think it should happen.
People saying Idris Elba.
No, not Idris Elba, not Black Superman.
Okay? He's Black Superman already. Idris Elba as Sebastian would be amazing.
Yeah, he could be Sebastian.
Yes.
Terry Crews is trying.
I got 11 seconds. So there you go. Peace out.
Do I have to do
Maleficent? Dude. Yeah, talk to us about Maleficent.
I'm super excited about it because it's like this. She became an anti-hero when I thought that she was basically just a bad person, but you kind of saw what she went through. So I'm super excited about it. A lot of people are like, why? Did we really need a Maleficent 2? Yeah, I kind of did. I kind of did because I let me some Angelina Jolie. Yes. And she evil. And that's all I got. Sure, yes. And I'm happy.
And she's Tigress in Kung Fu Panda.
Also,
and
yes.
And that. And she got horns and wings.
Stuff today. Why not? Full of random.
Horns and wings.
Horns and wings and stripy things.
Right. She wears a little bit. Two less clothes. I don't care. I like it. It's all she pretty.
There you go.
Go.
Let's I don't go. Even know how much time we have. Left.
All right. Someone's got to answer your question.
Hugh.
You got to pass the lightning.
Hugh.
You got to pass the lightning.
Okay. Hugh, go to song for karaoke when it comes to Disney.
Be a Man.
Ooh. Okay. Speaking of then, how'd you like the Mulan trailer?
It looks amazing, except for the fact that the songs may all be instrumentals, which is fucking ridiculous. Don't do the movie if you can't do instrumentals. If you can only do instrumentals, you have to be able to sing the songs. Though, Be a Man would be very problematic if we're just going to be like, the lyrics are, let's get down to business to defeat the Huns. Did they send me daughters when I asked for sons? Like, that's going to be social media firestorm. That's my explosion noise.
Right.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good at all. So I'm kind of torn. I don't want to see you do it if you can't do it justice, but at the same time, that's not really justice, i.e. social justice. So what do?
I think you take it as Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, but Disney style, and we love it.
But Mushu.
We don't even know
what. Is he going to be in there? Can they animate him?
I don't know. I'm just...
Maybe? It better be Eddie Murphy, goddammit.
That was
damn
my
it.
Favorite part. I'm just saying, Mushu. Oh!
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the end of our lightning section.
Dude, that is truly one of the best, and I mean best, things we have on this show. I love it. Let us know, dear listeners, how you feel about some of the stuff. Mulan, Maleficent, and Mermaid, the three M's here. At NerdAF Show, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And comment on Stitcher if you want to as well. We're going to go out here with a round of plugs. I'm going to start here. I'm going to do a big shout out. As you guys know, I'm a huge guy into Destiny. Watch a lot of streams. WTF Game Nation and Loremaster. Jesus. My name is Bife. Did a raid-a-thon in which they raised money for St. Jude's Children's Hospital.
Awesome.
10 hours of raiding. Or no, more than 10 hours of raiding. 10 raids, one day. They got 17K in one day. In the month of St. June, that's what they call it, $93,000 between Bife and WTF Nation. Incredible job, guys. Proud that you guys repped the Destiny community so hard. My favorite lore master and some of my favorite streamers out there, great job to you. Great job to see the gaming community do something so awesome. You can find me on Twitter at HughJohnson707. Tyler Scott. He was pointing at Richard, so I had to shoot it at him.
Gee, Hugh, do you think there's a reason they didn't do an anthem run?
I'm leaving.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Final point to Tyler.
Oh my god.
Yes. That's fine.
Now you close up the show, Tyler.
Woo! So, quick shout out. I'm going to do a shout out to Rainy Day Gaming. I love Apex Legends. I love this guy's videos. He is hilarious to watch, and he does a great job of not only calling out cheaters when he finds them in the game, but making sure that he gets proof, gets them reported, and does a good job of just making the community be better and better. So, go check out his videos on YouTube. That's Rainy Day Gaming. That's R-A-Y-N-D-A-Y Gaming. Sorry, I lost my train of thought there. But you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, basically any social media platform underneath Wild Wanderer. That's W-Y-L-D underscore Wanderer.
R-A-Y-N?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to check that just to be sure, folks. Just give me 10 seconds while Richard's doing that.
I want to plug the piece I did with Vince in the Colorado Sun. Also, my high comic books. Let's give them some support. They are out there, and they're really trying to make a place that's inclusive for everybody and just a safe haven. You can find me on Twitter at Storm78704 and also on Instagram at Storm78704. So get on there. Give me your comments. I'm ready for them. I'm on, what, Instagram? Yeah, totally. Do that.
There's a picture of him in a cosplay costume.
No, there isn't.
Yes, there is.
I don't even know who that person is. Oh, my God. I don't even know what's going on.
Rich is going to run for office one day.
Oh, my God. We're going to finish this up. All right,
we got to finish
this. Okay, yes. I was correct. So then I might have pronounced it wrong, but it is spelled R-A-Y-N-D-A-Y space gaming. So he puts out some great content, particularly with Apex Legends Season 2 dropping recently. Good time to go get a few tips from a pro.
Cool, cool. Thank you guys for joining us. Remember, you can find us at Nerd AF Show on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, and on Stitcher. Producer Vince, we love you. Miss you, buddy, and your crazy glasses. Remember when he shot that video for us? That was pretty cool. Go check it out on Nerd AF Facebook. It's pretty cool. And we out.
Bye.
Bye now.
The Nerd AF Show is a production of F420 and is directed and produced by Andy Caldwell.